Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. This is Tom from the Sky Family. The name of our lesson today is called the Jesus Patch. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 16 and 17, where Jesus says, "No one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and a worse tear results. Nor do men put new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wineskins burst, and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." Now this lesson is particularly relevant to us all, because we are masters of the patch. We are patch masters. We have our old garment, which is our old life and our desires, our passions, our pursuits, our ambitions, and our dreams. Then we encounter Jesus, and there's something about Him that attracts us, and we want Him. But we also still love all the things of our old life. We don't want Jesus to the exclusion of everything else. We want Him as well as everything else. And so we add him on like a patch. This is the great error of our time, and that is that we can have the world and we can have Jesus too. This is the gospel of self, which has taken over so much of the Western Hemisphere, and why it's so important for us to turn back to the Gospels to hear what Jesus has to say for himself. We want to add Jesus on like a patch, that he would be just one more thing to add to all the things that we love. All the other interests stay intact, and we just add Jesus on top of it. This is what Jesus meant by putting a new patch on an old garment. And when you consider this, we're really more like Hindus than Christians, because the rule of thumb for a Hindu is, when in doubt, just add a new god. They don't worry about the rest of the gods, they just add a new one. And so that's how we are in practice. We just add one more god. We add Jesus to our pantheon of idols. We put Jesus on like a patch. We keep our lifestyle intact, and then we try to add Jesus to it. This is the most common version of Christianity today in North America, and we all operate this way to some degree. We want to be workers for the kingdom, but because in practice we're really Hindus, we're not exactly fit for the work of the gospel. We all have bunches of idols, and the most desirable thing to us is just to be able to add Jesus to it. That way we have all our bases covered. We definitely don't want to upset any of the other gods in our life, but we do want to be safe. And of course, we want to be good stewards of our idols. Being a good steward is our rationale for indulging in all the same material idolatry as the world. In fact, if you don't obsess about your car, your home, and your toys, you are thought to be a poor example of a Christian. This is the most acceptable form of Christianity in the world, and it's very descriptive of the modern church, especially in the West. We get the Jesus patch. Now I'm going to give a few examples, and don't think I'm picking on anyone in particular, because we're all in the same boat, and I'm addressing myself in all these examples. Say you live in the country. If you do, you must have your mandatory big pickup, because you really can't live without one, even though almost no one does work these days that requires one. You need your rifle in the back window, because you have your hunting and your fishing. You have your whole country life. Then, because it's thought to be good in some areas to be a Christian and go to church, you also have your Jesus patch. You just add Jesus as a patch to what you really are. Or, say you're from the Northeast. Because of that, you are obsessed with motorcycles. Whether you're the rough and tumble type or the pastor of any church, you're obsessed with Harley Davidsons. You have your polished Harley, your leathers, your lifestyle, your cool factor, your friends. Then you put your Jesus patch on top of your colors, and now you're a biker for Jesus. Jesus has been added to your whole biker persona. Or, on the opposite extreme, let's say that you're a homeschool family and you have your whole homeschool life that's comfortable and sweet and safe and secure. You have lots of fun. There's a kind of a special way for a homeschool family to dress and to look. And of course, there's the mandatory drive to become a filmmaker. You can't be a homeschooler without that. And then we just add Jesus to all that nice lifestyle that we're comfortable with. Now, the trouble is that we're still the same people. That whole package, whichever one it is, or the many other ones besides that, that's who we really are. And Jesus is a sideline. We're still the hunter with the truck and the lifestyle. We're still the sports lover. We're still the same people who are obsessed with all the things of this present world. For those who are homeschooled, it's the same. We have our whole acceptable lifestyle, and we just add the name of Jesus to it. We're not really interested in Jesus himself. We're just interested in wearing his name. How do I know that? Well, if we were interested in him, we would spend time with him. We don't ever spend time with Jesus. Our get-togethers are just fun and games and talk about the latest movies. Have you ever noticed that? For our friend who lives in the country, he isn't really interested in Jesus. If he was, he'd more likely have his Bible with him than an extra box of ammo, and he'd be looking for a quiet place to read it. Not that there's anything wrong with fishing or hunting, but it always takes precedence over spending time with Jesus. Now back to our homeschool family, and I address this because we were a homeschool family. We have an obsession with eating a certain way, and we make so much of it. In many cases, as long as we have our healthy eating, Jesus is largely irrelevant. We add Jesus to it, but he only occupies a tiny corner of our lives. It's always Jesus and this, or Jesus and that, but the "and" makes up who we really are. But there is a little problem with all this. We invite Jesus into our lives, but we find that he doesn't mix well. He doesn't play well with the other gods in our lives. We all have these different gods. Then we invite the God, and he doesn't seem to get along very well with them. And a conflict begins. As we often say at our revival meetings, Dagon must fall. During the times of the kings of Israel, the Philistines were at war with them. In one battle, they succeeded in capturing the Ark of the Covenant. They were full of excitement and flush with victory. When they returned to their land, they put the Ark of God into the temple of their god, Dagon. You can only imagine how excited the priests of Dagon were to have the Ark of the Covenant in their temple. And everything was fine until the next morning, when they entered the temple, they found that Dagon had fallen down before the Ark of the Covenant. The priests were frantic and worked hard to get old Dagon back up into his place of honor. And after they dusted him off, they left for the night, thinking that all was well. However, the next morning when they returned, they found Dagon smashed to pieces before the Ark of the Covenant. There was no repairing Dagon this time. Now, the same priests who were so excited a few days ago couldn't be more anxious to get the Ark of the Covenant out of their temple. They were so afraid that they wouldn't even get close to it and sent it back to Israel on a cart with no driver. And this is an excellent illustration of what happens when we invite Jesus into the temple of our heart. Dagon must fall. The other gods must bow down. And if we don't want them to bow down and be smashed before the Lord, the only other alternative is that we must take the Ark out and send it back where it came from. So we only have two choices. We can let our false gods be crushed before the true God, or we can send it back the way it came. As I said, that's the only two choices. Anything else, any other compromise, is simply a happy self-delusion. We are deceiving ourselves if we think we can have all the world and Jesus too. We will either have our gods bow down to him, or we will have to send him out. And for the most part here in the West, the ox cart has already been sent out of many, many hearts. It's already gone out because we've refused to surrender our idols. We have refused to let him be the Lord of our lives. And in doing this, let me just say, we will not renounce Jesus per se. We will not leave the church and say, oh, I'm not going to serve Jesus anymore. No, we simply leave off seeking him earnestly. It's very easy to send the Ark of the Covenant out of our heart. Just ignore it. Just leave off seeking God earnestly, and he no longer disturbs our false gods. But meanwhile, we still have the patch on us that says Jesus. But our real gods are still intact in the temple of our heart. Now, the first commandment says, he is the Lord our God. We should have no false gods before him. Why did God give that first commandment? Why were they required to put the idols out of their land? It's because their idols led them to destruction. They became enslaved to their false gods. And so do we also become enslaved to our false gods. So God's motive is good that our idols are removed. It's so that we will become stabilized, so that our joy will be solid and built on Jesus. Do you think that Jesus is all in all? Is he your joy? What happens when your Harley gets dumped? What happens when your car gets in an accident or gets scratched? What happens when termites eat out your house? Is your joy still intact? If these are our idols, our joy is eaten up just like the house with the termites. So Jesus wants to get our idols set aside so that he becomes our true Lord, so that we have a joy that is solid. When he calls us to have a new wineskin, it's so that Jesus doesn't burst out of us. When we bring Jesus into us, he doesn't fit. The wineskin of our old lifestyle doesn't fit Jesus. It doesn't hold him or contain him. And that's why it's mandatory to get a whole new life in Christ. We must be sold out. We must be made new. We must become new creatures in Christ. It might be painful. We have to surrender everything and everyone. We have to be willing to go if we're going to be useful workers in the harvest. If we're bound to our idols, we can't leave. We can't leave our idols to do the Lord's work. And if you don't lay down the good opinion of man or men's good opinion of you, you'll be stopped dead. The opposition will be fierce. You'll be belittled and ostracized. That's why he says, if we are not willing to give up everyone to serve him, we are not worthy of him. It's not so much that we're not worthy. The issue is that our heart will always be divided. We'll be dissuaded and turned back by someone we love and respect, and we won't be able to take the heat. As Jesus is calling for more workers, these are the workers he's looking for, those who are willing to serve no matter what the cost. These are real workers, those who say, I'm yours, God, send me wherever you want. Those are the ones that he will do miraculous things through. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. This is an area that we all need to address because we all, in some ways, put on Jesus as a patch. And so many of us, all of us, have false gods that we still hold on to or want to hold on to. So let us go before the Lord and let Dagon be smashed. Lord Jesus, we ask you to completely, thoroughly cleanse the temple of our heart. We want you to be the Lord of Lords. We want you to be our true God. We want you to be our all in all. And we bring before you all of our false gods and our false idols, and we lay them on the altar. And we ask you to deal with them, to burn them up, Lord, that you might really be our all in all. We know that only those who are fully surrendered to you will stand in that great day. And we know that that day is coming very soon. Please help us to be among those who wake up, who get dressed in your robes of righteousness, who get our lamps filled and are ready to meet you. Help us lay aside all the weight of the world, the cares of the world, the distractions of the world, and the pursuits of the world, that we might pursue you with all of our heart. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitfield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.
in the